Laying down your life is actually sort of a sub-theme to the sermons the rest of the summer. Because the question, for those of you who are maybe here for the first time today, dropping in from Thailand, went through following Jesus, picking up our cross and following Jesus, going to the cross, then following the risen Lord, and then he ascended. And now what? Well, now we got to get around and get to the business of being the church, of being the people that Christ entrusted his mission to. In the 19th chapter of Luke, we have the story of Jesus inviting himself to the home of Zacchaeus. And at the end of that story, in Luke 19, 9 and 10, Jesus says to Zacchaeus, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Let's pray again. Lord, give us your Spirit, that he would open up your word to us, that he would speak to us. For Jesus came to save, to seek and to save that which was lost. And if we're looking for a job description, Father, that's it. It was his job description, it's ours. What are we in business for? To seek and to save that which was lost. Thank you, Lord, for being with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let me ask, have you ever lost anything that was really important to you? And do you remember how that felt? Do you remember that feeling when suddenly you realized that that thing that was so precious to you is gone? I remember when Kathy's mom, after Kathy's dad died, lost his wedding ring somewhere between the car and the front door of her office, and we never found it. Ugh, she was sick. And I remember when Kathy lost a charm bracelet at the mall parking lot that was full of 24-karat charms. And all of them had to do with our family, the kids, something. And so the sentimental value by itself was priceless. And then I remember when I was 12, for my birthday, I got a real Timex watch. Timex. And my friend Lee Couch called me up, and I mention his name because we've gotten reconnected on Facebook and he watches from time to time. So Lee, if you're out there. And he says, "Come down to my house and let's play football." Okay. So I go down to Lee's house, and the first time I get tackled, I'm thinking, I might break my watch. So I took the watch off, I took it over to the porch, and I laid it down on the edge of the porch and went back to playing football. Now, we're playing front yard football. That means no pads, no helmets. So I don't know, after four or five times my head bounced off the ground, I'd forgotten about the watch. And I get home that night, and my dad notices I'm not wearing the watch. And he asked me what time it was. And I'm looking at the TV thinking, okay, Hogan's Heroes came on at 7. It's been on about 20 minutes. It's about 7:20. Uh-huh. I laid in bed all night long going, where's the watch? And then I remembered. I'd put it on the porch at Lee's house. And I'm laying in bed going, tomorrow morning, I've got to go back over there and get it. And then I heard something outside. Rain. Rain all night long. Rain. So I go over to Lee's house, and the watch is not on the porch. I don't know where it is, but I notice that there is a big puddle of rain down below the porch. And so I'm in a panic. I get out on my hands and knees behind the shrubs, in the mud, in the water, digging through it, and I found it. It was waterproof and mudproof. Because Timex takes a licking. Boy, have you guys been sold. All right. What about a child? Ever lost a child? Unintentionally. We've left ours at church lots of times. They keep finding their way home. We'd both get home. I'd look at Kathy. She'd look at me and says, "Don't you have the kids?" "No, I thought you had the kids." We'd go back to church. The kids don't even know that we've left. You know. But there was that one time. The county had built a new courthouse, and the old courthouse had fallen in disrepair. And it was a beautiful old thing built back in the 1800s, and somebody gave a ton of money to get it all fixed up. And on the day that the refurbished old courthouse was going to be reopened, they had a big 4th of July party, and so we go. And they've got a balcony out there that Rebecca for years had said, "I want to get up there and get on the balcony." Okay. So she's 4 years old. Chris is 2. We go up to the balcony. I pick him up. Kathy's down here, and we're waving to Mom, and then out we go because other people want to get out on the balcony. Well, Rebecca wants to race down the stairs to Mom, and Chris doesn't want to be carried. He wants to walk because he's a 2-year-old, and he's a big boy, and he can walk. So he and I are going 1, 2. Rebecca's like, flash. She's boom, down there. And so down at the bottom of the stairs, Kathy's sitting to the right. Rebecca hits the bottom of the stairs and goes left. And she doesn't see her mom, so she figures what she needs to do is just keep going left. There's probably, I don't know, 2,000 people there. And the 4-year-old little girl is lost. And I get to Kathy. And I said, "Where's Rebecca?" And every woman in here knows what her answer is. "Well, she was with you." And so I give her the 2-year-old, and I'm about to turn because I'm in a panic, right? And I'm about to turn because I realize what she's done, and I'm about to head that way when this young couple comes down the sidewalk with her right in between them. She's holding both of their hands, and they're giving you that look. And they say to us, "Is this your child? Like you're a bad parent, you don't deserve to have children, you know." But we didn't care. We were just so relieved to have our little girl back and so overjoyed that nothing else mattered. And you've had that moment where you say to yourself, "I hope she's alive, because when I get her, I'm going to kill her." But you're just so excited that she's safe and she's okay, and it was a scary moment. And this is how God feels about us. This is how God feels about us. We get lost, and He doesn't want to lose us. He wants us to get found. He is that good, good Father. And we are the lost children. Jesus had a lot of things to say about lostness. If you turn over a couple of pages back to chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, verse 1, it says, "Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near to listen to him. But the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, 'This man receives sinners, and he eats with them.' So then he told them this parable. What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after that one which is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. The good people were grumbling that Jesus welcomed sinners and would actually sit down and eat with them, proving Jesus was Baptist. At last Wednesday night's Bible study on 1 John here in the worship center, we were talking about how the one who extends a hand of friendship to the outcast is often hated worse than the outcasts themselves. And so as we go on mission with Jesus, and not just with Jesus, but for Jesus, we may be hated as well. But let us take a note here from how he helps us all to understand. For Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. "Which one of you," he says, "has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in open pasture and go after them until he finds it?" How precious are the sheep to the shepherd? And by extension, how precious is the sheep to the under-shepherds? If the sheep are important to the boss, then the sheep better be important to us. And the quality of our work for him will be judged by how closely our care for the sheep come to his standard of care for the sheep. This is what it means to serve the risen Christ. This is what it means to be the church, to be Christian, to lay down our life and to go after the one that is lost. It doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter how far we've got to go. We do whatever it takes. In many small villages around the area where Jesus was preaching, the flock of sheep very well could be communal. The flock is owned by the entire village. So a few of the men of the village would work as shepherds, watching over the sheep, and some of the boys would go as the under-shepherds, the apprentices, if you will, learning how to care for the sheep and how to love them as their bosses love them. And it's easy to imagine, as they're bringing the sheep in for the night to put them in the fold to keep them safe, that one of the sheep would be missing. And so one of the men would have to launch back out into the darkness looking for the one lost sheep. Now, he doesn't want to go. He's tired. He's hungry. He just wants to go home. He just wants to get some supper. He wants to go to bed. He's done for the day, but he can't because he's got to lay down his life to get back out there in the dark to find the one that is lost. And it's dangerous work. The ground was unfriendly with many sharp ledges and deep ravines. But you've got to lay down your life to seek and to save that which is lost. And the whole town would light torches and stay up at night to keep watch. And so Jesus says, and when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost." So we lay down our life. We set aside what we want. We set aside what we think we need. We lay it all down. We set aside what we would like to be doing to reach God's lost sheep. We've got to be willing to do whatever it takes, to go as far as it takes, to spend whatever it takes. And then we will know what it truly means to be Christian. For Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. But Jesus goes on. In verse 8, he says, "Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins, loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search it carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I have lost.' In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Why all the panic for one coin? Well, it may well be that these coins were all she had to feed her family on. One such coin would have been more than a day's wages. So perhaps if she didn't find it, her family would not have enough food for the week or not be able to buy coffee. Heavens. Or maybe it was more precious to her than that. Because you see, in the world in which Jesus lived, the mark of a married woman was not a ring on her finger. No, it was a headdress with 10 silver coins on a silver chain. This was not a gift to her like a wedding ring might be. She had to scrimp and to save and to earn each one of those coins. And so then one day the chain breaks and the coins fall and she finds 9 of them, but one coin is lost. Now, when you build a house in the desert, you want it to be cool on the inside. You want to be able to get out of the sun. And so the houses in Israel, even to this day, generally are very dark on the inside, and they would have just one 18-inch circular window to allow a little light and a little fresh air in, but that's about all. She finds 9, but one is lost somewhere down in the darkness. The real value of the coin is far more than just a day's wages. It's an expression of love and commitment toward her husband. It's her most prized possession, perhaps taking years for her to earn 10 silver coins. How sad he will be when he comes home and sees that the coin is missing, lost. But she would be devastated. And so she's got to find it. She's got to find it. But how do you find a small thing that is lost in the darkness? You bring light. She lights a lamp. You bring light into the darkness and you bring energy. She grabs a broom. She lights a lamp and grabs a broom and sweeps everywhere. And when she finds it, she's so ecstatic. She cries out with joy to her friends and neighbors. This is what we are to do. This is what we are to do to bring light into the darkness. And to do it with energy and determination so that we do not quit until we find that which is lost. Because the lost are hugely important to our Father, our Master. So they better be important to us. We must be willing to do whatever it takes. Jesus says that in the same way as that woman, that there is ecstatic joy in heaven over that one person who is lost in the darkness and is found, over that one sinner who repents. For Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost.
Turn over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 18. Mary Ann was in here a couple of minutes ago, and I was glad. But it's so much easier to talk about her when she's not here. Matthew 18, verse 10. Jesus says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see their face, see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Let me try that again. "See to it that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." Jesus well understood the value of children in the kingdom. In Matthew 19, verses 13 through 15, the Lord makes it clear. Children were trying to come to him, and the disciples were shooing them away. And Jesus said, "Do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." If children are lost, if they don't know about Jesus, it's not the child's fault, it's the parents'. It's the responsibility of the parents. But if you've got lost parents, then very likely you're going to wind up with lost children. So if you want to reach the children, and Jesus really kind of thinks that's important, then you need to reach the parents. Have you noticed 8-year-olds rarely drive themselves to church? So what do you do? What do you do? What do? You shine light into the darkness. You shine light into the darkness. You bring a lot of energy. And you do whatever it takes to reach these young parents. You lay down your life to seek and to save that which was lost. It's not about what we want. It's about finding lost lambs. It's about being about the work that the risen Christ has given to us, brothers and sisters. For Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why our work in the schools is so important. It's why Vacation Bible School is so important. And I thought what Marianne did last year was brilliant, doing an online virtual VBS. She had people from all over the country contacting her to ask her, "How do you do this?" She was just brilliant with it. And this year, while we're still dealing with COVID and stuff going into the summer, she's got another brilliant idea as to how we get it done. Because we've got to do whatever it takes to be able to reach these young families in our community, reach these kids in our community, to seek and to save that which was lost. And you know the thing about the culture in which we live? So often it's the kids who run the household. A guy who had been a professional evangelist for a long time was a guest lecturer in seminary one day, and he came in to say, let me tell you how you do a good in-home visit. He said, "First, look around and see who holds the TV remote. That's the most powerful person in the house. And if it's the kids, talk to them." And almost always, it's the kids. And so we went to visit a family one time, and they had two daughters And we asked them to come to Vacation Bible School. And they liked it. And they informed their parents that they were going to come to church here on Sunday. And so the parents came and dropped them off for a while. Week after week after week, the parents would drop them off. And then one Sunday, the girls came in with their mother. And then a few weeks after that, they came with their dad. And it was a great day. A great day. When he got saved. And he got baptized. Whatever it takes to seek and to save that which was lost. If we're in business for anything else, we've not just missed the point, we've missed the purpose. To seek and to save that which was lost. Let's pray. Father, how many ways can we think of to reach children, to reach senior adults? A lot of lost senior adults out there, Lord. We assume that every sweet little old man, every sweet little old lady knows Jesus. They don't. How many different ways? It's been said, Lord, the only thing that's holding us back is the lack of imagination. Father, give us divine imagination. Just like you gave Marianne last year for Vacation Bible School and again this year. Brilliant. Thank you for helping Eric have a vision to see, to take a bunch of kids to Polly's Island and put them to work. Seek and to save that which is lost. Father, help us in all that we do to have that question at the very front of our minds. Is what we're doing helping us to minister to this community, to help seek and to save those in this community who are lost? There's a lot of pain out there in the world, Lord, and it all comes from sin. There's a lot of suffering out there in the world, Lord, and it all comes from sin. There's so much lostness, so much darkness. So, Father, let us light a lamp and grab a broom and get to work, shining a light into the darkness and doing it with determination and energy that we're not going to quit until we find that sheep, that lamp, that mom, that dad, that grandparent, that child who is lost. So thank you, Father. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit so that we can have that divine creativity, that we can have that divine imagination, that we can have that divine energy and wisdom, power, to accomplish the task that you have laid before us, that you have given us, that you are holding us accountable for. Father, if this country's in a mess today, it's because your church has dropped the ball. And we need to get the ball back. We need to get on with it, Lord. Seeking and saving with love and grace and mercy that precious lamb of yours that is lost. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.